Hey, everybody, welcome back to Inside the Five. It's Dov.
It's Will.
And it's Griff.
And today we're going to be recapping week five of the NFL season. A lot of blowouts, some close games. And then we're going to dive right back into week six predictions. A little faster episode, rapid fire. Boys, what do we say?
Let's do it.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Inside the Five. Let's get things started with the game that took place across the pond between the Jacksonville Jaguars, the home team, versus the Buffalo Bills. Boys, I just want to get this started by saying the Bills look really tired. Some may say it was unfair that the Jaguars got to stay in London and the Bills had to travel, not necessarily on a short week, but it was a home field advantage for Jacksonville.
It was still a great game, though. That's the thing. It was 25-20. I don't know about you guys, but I woke up at around 9:15 a.m., placed my bets, popped some Eggos in the toaster, 9:30, sat down, and I don't think I stood up again until 11 p.m. that night. And I was purely entertained from start to finish. It started with this game. I still thought it was a great game. A lot of passing yards in this game. Now, what I hate seeing with Buffalo and what I feel like I've been talking about with this team a lot is how much I've liked their run game to start the season. They couldn't run the ball at all. And that front seven from Jacksonville looked really good in this game. And at the end of the day, what have we been talking about Jacksonville? When they're in England, it's a home game. And that this is what launched their season last year was when they traveled back to London. They won that game to kind of settled down and got into a rhythm, and we're seeing it happen right now again, especially after such a big win. That makes them 3-2. They were going into London 1-2. You know, you don't know what direction this ball club's going to take. They're coming back to America over 500 and looking like the kings of the AFC South again.
I mean, I did say last episode that having the back-to-back in London was going to be really big for the Jags. But, I mean, not only did the run game didn't look too good for the Bills, the run game for the Jags looked really, really good. Travis Etienne had a big day, which was massive for them because it allowed them to get it going in the air.
Yeah, well, you're the only one who took Jags in this game, in which I feel like, obviously, hindsight's 20/20, but it was a kind of a stupid pick for us to pick the Bills in this.
Oh, definitely. But,
whatever. All right, so next game, we're skipping over a few. We're going to go to a rivalry game in the AFC North where the Baltimore Ravens traveled as 4-point favorites to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers and choked. They were up in the fourth quarter. This game was seemingly in control. The Ravens controlled the entire game, probably the first 3.5 quarters. And then out of nowhere, Pittsburgh comes and smacks Baltimore in the mouth, takes the lead, forces some late turnovers. And if I'm being honest, this game was lost by the wide receiver group in Baltimore.
Oh, I agree 100%. And when you have guys that have a lot of potential and you're expecting them to come through pretty much instantly and a guy like Zay Flowers and say, hey, I know that we have Odell on this team. I know that we have Rashad Bateman on this team, but you're the guy that we drafted in the first round and we need you to be a wide receiver one for a team that can – potentially go to the Super Bowl, you know, with how good we've seen Lamar Jackson play in the past. You don't know what this team can do. And you need these veteran guys in the receiving core. And I'm talking about Odell and even a guy like Nelson Agholor, who's had a couple of good games so far this year. You need them to really take on a bigger role. And when you're throwing the ball 38 times, your leading receiver shouldn't have 5 receptions for 73 yards. Especially when you can't run in this game and in AFC North games, you really can't do anything on the ground. Like, that's just how it is. It's going to be physical, especially against a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers. You got to be able to get it done in the air. You have to have receivers. I think Lamar Jackson has been more than competent throwing the ball and even staying in the pocket this season. He's just got to get it to his guys, and his guys got to get open for him. It's as simple as that. I'm not in love with the secondary of Pittsburgh. I think that they're all right. I don't love the corners there. And it didn't matter. These wide receivers looked like they had no idea what they were doing on the field. They score one touchdown in this game, and it's just not going to be enough. It was bad. This is a team that you think could put up a lot of numbers, and against a rival like this, that evens them out in the AFC North. And like I said, with Jacksonville, you didn't know where the AFC South was going, and then we're starting to see some direction. I have no idea what's going to happen in the AFC North now.
It's a tough division. I mean, I wanted to highlight one of the plays that Lamar threw to Odell. I think it was, like, in the end zone. He tried throwing him, like, this crazy, like, fade route and have him, like, jump up him. And everyone was like, Odell just isn't Odell like that anymore. So, like, having them utilize Odell in that way and not more of, like, a guy to just have him be kind of like a security blanket for Lamar, because he's a guy who can go out there, get a couple catches, and move the chains a little bit. But he can't be your guy out there to throw a lob up and hopefully he gets – a 50-50 ball in the end zone, because he's just not going to do that.
Yeah. It wasn't even a good throw.
No.
It was, like, underthrown.
And who was commentating that game? Because they were so mad that they were giving it to Odell.
The whole game.
Odell's 5'11", and he's, like, 30 years old, has no ACLs. I was like, all right.
Yeah, like, no ACL. It was supposed to be a back shoulder fade, and it was a throw that looked like it was supposed to be a slant. Yeah, he got pissed. He clearly had Ravens minus four, like I did for my first loss.
So did I. I wasn't happy either.
But the funniest play of this game, I don't remember if we mentioned it, was when Kenny Pickett audibled and scored the game-winning touchdown, and Matt Cannon was pissed.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Oh yeah. They went into like the box, and everybody was getting so lit. Matt Cannon was just sitting there.
Yeah,
like that wasn't my play.
Because it was like when Matt Canada draws up a play that was supposed to go for 1 yard, but Kenny Pickett audibles for a 50-yard touchdown. I thought that was electric. And I'm not willing to write off the Steelers yet. They win games that they're not supposed to win, but lose games they're supposed to win. They're 3-2 right now. So I mean, you have two divisional wins. And you beat the Raiders, your two losses are against.
I mean, hey, Mike Tomlin, he doesn't lose games.
No,
that audible by Kenny Pickett made me think that he's a little smarter than he looks on the field.
Yeah, the two audibles or the two losses. I mean, the 49ers were the best team in the NFL, and you lose to the Texans, who are hot at home on the road. So it's, we'll see where it goes. I'm putting the Steelers in my frisky category. All right, okay. Next game, we're staying in the AFC North. We have the Cincinnati Bengals going to Arizona. And the only reason why I want to talk about this game is Ja'Marr Chase was right. He went absolutely nuclear. What do you have, 10 for 192 and three touchdowns?
Unreal. Yeah. And
Joe Burrow looks bad. He exactly played his way to being healthy.
We've been waiting for this. And another frisky team, you could say, in Arizona that's been putting up some fights and some games against teams, especially like the Cincinnati Bengals. I want to say – did I take the Cardinals? No, I took the Bengals in this game. Will took the Cardinals. Yeah, exactly. It was kind of a 50-50, and the spread said so too, but Cincinnati handled them and looked like the team that they're meant to be. Ja'Marr Chase with 192 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, this was a big week for a few players, and we'll talk about George Kittle soon. We'll talk about a few different guys soon, but that's probably one of the most – I'm going to give that player of the week. I'm going to give that Griffin's player of the week. 192 yards and three touchdowns off 15 grabs. He's doing everything for that team. It was awesome.
I mean, to the start of that game, I thought my Cardinals was a minus three. Looked pretty decent. But Cardinals then plus three. And then right when Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase started connecting, like how they were all year last year, it immediately in the mud. But it's good to see that they're back, because – it just was so weird watching that offense just come out flat week in and week out to start the season.
Yeah. All right. Next game on the list, we have the Philadelphia Eagles going to LA to face the Rams, the Cooper Kupp led Rams. And in the first half, this Rams offense didn't miss a beat. Cooper Kupp was getting involved, especially on that first drive. And Puka Nacua wasn't even getting his targets taken away. So, Griff, do we think that this Rams team is back?
100%. 100%. Now, I'm not in love with this defense from Los Angeles, but this is a team, and, you know, we saw them put up a fight in that first half and then get shut down in the second half. This is a team that if they can put it together for all four quarters, I think that they could be anyone in the NFL. And I'm not saying that they could win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that they're one of the teams that's up there, but I think that they're one of those teams that you don't want to see in, you know, of course they're in the NFC West. You don't want to see them going into these later weeks. And I know they play 49ers week 18. Hopefully 49ers lock it down by then, but they got some big games before that. Like, they play the Saints week 16. That could determine the Saints season. And I think by then the Rams might even have a chance of making it into the playoffs. Obviously they still have to see the Seahawks one more time, and that game is at SoFi. So they already took one from Seattle in terms of, you want to talk about playoff possibilities, but this is all about Matthew Stafford at this point. They reloaded for him. He's got maybe two more years left, if even, but you have weapons for him now again, and you get rid of Robert Woods, but you add Tutu Atwell, you add Puka Nacua, who's one of the most exciting rookies, Kyren Williams, another rookie running back who we've talked about how interchangeable running backs are in the NFL. It doesn't matter, but this kid is pretty special in my opinion. He's been very good throughout the start of the season. And Matthew Stafford, the old gunslinger, I mean, he's going to get it done. He's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. They put up a decent fight in the first half. Like I said, the Eagles are just too tough on defense. But this is a team that I could easily see the Rams making the playoffs this year, without a doubt.
Easily. And Matthew Stafford looking good and confident is pretty big for them, as well as like their whole offense. Obviously the defense isn't really there this year besides Aaron Donald, but this is a team that like looks like they can go out there and they're going to get involved in a few shootouts, just scoring back and forth because their defense isn't good, but they're going to be able to keep up with teams that have better defenses because they can score.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Eagles, whatever, we know what they are. Jalen Hurts is fine. Had a few bad throws, but they figured it out. Jason Kelce was mad at something. There hasn't really been much that came out of that. But, yeah, the Eagles are fine. I mean, at the top of the NFC, you have the 49ers, the Eagles, and the Lions. I'm putting the Lions. Not necessarily – I think that there's a little space between 1, 2, and 3. But I think it goes 49ers, Eagles, Lions. All right. Next game on the list, we have the Kansas City Chiefs traveling to Minnesota to face the Vikings. Chiefs minus 4. Dude, how, Griff, I know you have a little bit more to say probably about some of the calls that were made late in the game. Why didn't L'Jarius Sneed get flagged for taking off his helmet?
Okay. I'm surprised you asked me about that one first. That didn't make any sense. That's kind of one of those where I feel like when a player takes off their helmet, if they're like super blatant about it, if they're like, it's weird, if they're in front of an official, if they speak to an official with their helmet off, it's like the official doesn't even notice. Like, it's just like the heat of the moment, right? So it's just like, oh, he it's face to face. So that's kind of what I'm guessing, kind of a heat of the moment thing. You miss a call, you know, you miss a call like that. I want to talk a little bit more about that pass interference towards the end of the game. That's one where, especially since so here's what happened. They throw it, pick it up, wipe it off. That's one of those calls where I think it could have gone either way easily. I think that pass interference could have been called or it could have been not called. But in my opinion, that late in the game, if you're seeing laundry on the field and it's a ticky-tack play like that, you have to stick to it. You can't pick that up and wipe it off and say, hey, you know what? You guys aren't going to be on the 1 yard line. You're actually going to lose the game. If you're going to throw the flag, you think it's a pass interference, it's a pass interference. It's as simple as that. And I think other than those key moments in the fourth quarter is a well-officiated game. It was just tough to see a game end like that. I feel like it's always – when it's an AFC team, I feel like it's always Kansas City in a game like this that ends on a pass interference call. And then it's always Minnesota on the other side too, or the Saints. I feel like this happens way too often with these teams that score a lot of points, that take a lot of risks. And it translates into this. There's going to be a lot of calls in this game, and it's going to be a tough game to officiate, and that's what it was in this game. But it was one of the better games of the weekend at the same time, and it's getting everybody talking, and it's getting everybody talking about the Minnesota Vikings as well, who are 1-4 but put up a fight against the best in the AFC.
Yeah, so I mean
you.
All right. It's just weird how the Chiefs are getting the benefit of the doubt. What is this, 3 consecutive weeks?
Yeah.
Last week we saw a numerous amount of examples against the Jets on Sunday Night Football where flags should have been thrown on the Chiefs and they weren't. And some of ticky-tack plays were thrown on the Jets when that really saved the Chiefs in that game. And what happened the week before? Wasn't there something that people are like, all right, this is weird. Who do the Chiefs play before the Jets? That was the Bears. Yeah, no, there was nothing. There was
they
nothing.
Played the Jags week two, and that was a pretty close game.
Yeah, I don't think, but like, so the last 2 weeks, there have been really big examples of, okay, what the fuck's going on? Where? It's a little fishy. Are we going to bet on the Broncos against the Chiefs as an NFL, like, get back? Yeah, absolutely not. All right, Will, what do you have on this game? We'll move on.
I did pick the Chiefs here. There was some mystery on the side for Pat Mahomes. But like you said, it seems like week in, week out, the Chiefs are getting a little, I don't know, their calls are getting a little interesting. It is what it is, but we move on. It was a good game, nonetheless.
Yeah. All right. Next game. Oh, and shout out Justin Jefferson. Hope he gets better. Sucks that he's out on the IR. Travis Kelce hurt his ankle a little bit. All right. Next, we have the Dallas Cowboys traveling to San Francisco to face the 49ers. This was a close spread, was not a close game. This was a statement game by the 49ers. They took it to Dallas, and they never let their foot off the gas. It's kind of crazy how well the 49ers have played this year, and they have not missed a beat whatsoever.
Yeah, and it's awesome when the quarterback doesn't have to have that much skill. All he has to have is the confidence, and that's what Brock Purdy has. And I'm not, you know, playing down on his ability, but he wasn't a first-round pick. He was actually the last pick in the draft. He goes out there, he throws 4 touchdowns on Sunday Night Football against a team that literally plays on Sunday Night Football half of the year. Like, this is the Dallas Cowboys. This is the team in the NFL. I've been kind of picking against the Cowboys every week since they started off, because I've been waiting for Dak Prescott to throw a multi-pick game. Here it was, of course, against the best team in the NFL. I got a few guys that I want to shout out. They had great games. First off, Kyle Juszczyk, fantastic game. He was the reason why they did so well on the ground, and he caught a few balls in the air. And then my second guy, Javon Hargrave. Dre Greenlaw, not Javon Hargrave. That was my guy last week, shutting up the run game. But Dre Greenlaw, who is, I mean, one of the best linebackers in the league, and he's next to the best linebacker in the league. It's insane to watch. He laid some dude out in the second quarter, and I actually thought that he was, like, going to be out of the game. I think it might have been Turpin. It was insane. This just proves, first off, that Dallas is fraudulent. They always are, always will be. They need a new quarterback to contend for a Super Bowl. He's not a Super Bowl quarterback, Will.
No, and I said it last week's episode where I said this game is all on Dak Prescott for the Cowboys. No matter how well that defense plays, no matter how open his wide receivers are, it's all on Dak Prescott, and it clearly showed Sunday night that he just does not have it.
Yeah. I kind of have my internal debate about Brock Purdy, but on a good level. I was thinking maybe he could win MVP. But with that being said, I feel like Brock Purdy, with his stat lines, is like an NBA player averaging 20 points a game on the Golden State Warriors in 2017.
Yeah, it's like Harrison Barnes. Like,
yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. But no, it's, I would compare him more to like Klay Thompson when Kevin Durant was there. Like, yeah, he's good.
Okay. I like that more.
Yeah. But like, when you have Christian McCaffrey, the best running back in the
NFL, he's like Zaza Pachulia. Like, think about it. Like, with everybody else, Debo, Ayuk, McCaffrey, they have the best fullback in the league. They have George Kittle. He's like the worst skill player on that offense.
I'd put Brock Purdy on a more important level than like Ayuk.
Don't say Juszczyk. Yeah. Don't say Juszczyk. No, I'm don't not say saying Juszczyk.
Can't say Juszczyk. Juszczyk is the best fullback of all time, maybe.
Yeah, like what he does in the run game is insane.
Yeah, that's someone who I would kill to have on my
team. Yeah, over right. Ayuk, though, I guess.
Because when you look at the NFC Championship game, when Brock Purdy got hurt, they were done. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, the 49ers offense is a car. You need to have all moving parts to work. I mean, you have Trent Williams. We haven't even mentioned him yet. He's probably the best player in the NFL. You have Debo Samuel. I love saying that, by the way, because it makes me sound like a football nut. Christian McCaffrey, Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Trent Williams, Kyle Juszczyk, Brandon Ayuk. That offense is stacked. That and the rest of that offensive line is fucking ridiculous too. So it's not just. And then Brock Purdy really doesn't have to do much, but he excels at. He made some tough throws on Sunday night against a really good defense. Like, he was fitting the ball into windows. He was throwing it over linebackers' heads. I know the Cowboys defense was banged up, but
fraudulent. Cowboys still fraudulent.
Yeah. All right. That wraps up our week 5 recap. The quick games. All right. Recap of lock of the week. I suffered my first loss, Ravens -4. It was tough. It was a tough slate to pick a line, as Griff knows as well. You want to talk about that a little bit?
1-3-1 here, made a speech last week, and I thought about it too much. Sometimes the speech is a little bit too much. I think that was the case last week. And this week, I'm a lot more simplified. I've thrown out all of the models, thrown out all of the numbers. I've dumbed it down, and this lock of the week, if it doesn't hit, I might buy you the jersey next week. Stop. I'm not even going to lie, because the worst part is, guys, I put money down on Sundays, and not only on my lock of the week, on many things. And 1-3-1 would kind of explain how my weekends have been going as well. Like, I've probably won one weekend betting, lost 3, and tied 1 weekend so far in betting. It's been bad. It's been like really, really bad. And I'm doing good on MLB, so I'm making it back during the week, and then just losing it all on Sunday. It sucks. It really sucks. I'm not happy.
All right, Will, you're the only victor of week 5. Talk us through you setting at 3-2, creeping up towards the top on a little win streak here.
I mean, we're riding high on the win streak. We got another week of some tough spreads, looking to keep the win streak going. It's not easy picking these games. There's always a lot of tough spreads. Sometimes you're not, not always there to the first one picking the spread. It gets a little difficult because, someone mm-hmm. might take your game.
Yeah.
It gets a little tough.
Very true.
But we got another big week ahead. I'm ready to move on. Hopefully, the win streak continues.
All right. Now let's move on to week 6. We'll start a little rapid fire here. Not really much to say about these games yet. We have the Kansas City Chiefs at home against the Denver Broncos. Home teams are the first team. If I don't know if you guys noticed my note.
Yeah, I got it. I see the guy. Chiefs. I got it this time.
Chiefs -10.5.
Yep.
All right. Next. we're not split here. We're a little 2-for-1. We have Tennessee at home versus Baltimore. I think the Ravens bounce back. They get a win. I think that they win by around 10 points. Will.
I'm with you right there with the Ravens. They suffered a tough loss last week, like we said earlier in the episode. I think it's a good week to bounce back. Tennessee doesn't look great besides Derrick Henry. I think the Ravens kind of figured it out a little bit.
Simple thought here. Baltimore got beat up last week, and now what do they have to do? They have to go to London. Long travel. It was a long week before that. It's going to be a long week again. I got Tennessee.
I forgot all that, too.
Tennessee +4. Nope, no switcher. I have Tennessee +4.
I like
that. No,
next, we have the Atlanta Falcons versus the Washington Commanders. The Falcons are favored by 2.5 points. Big win for them against the Texans and a tough loss against the Bears for the Commanders. Falcons are home. Griff.
It's the Commanders. It's the Commanders all the way through. The reason why I love the Commanders is because Atlanta looked good last week. And that just can't happen again. At home, though, actually, I'm changing my mind because I don't think Desmond Ridder's ever lost a game at home ever. Is that right?
Yeah, he's never since his junior year of high school.
All right, I'm switching my pick. I'm switching my pick because he's never lost a game ever. So I'm going with Desmond Ridder and the Falcons here. Screw it.
Will.
I'm going to the Commanders. He's got to lose at home at once. The Commanders look good. The Texans kind of blew it. I'm going to be honest. They blew it last week. I don't think the Falcons keep it up. Their air game is not that good. That Commanders defense is pretty solid, too.
Yeah, I'm going to the Commanders here. Tough loss last week. I think that everyone's kind of riding a little too high on the Falcons right now after a win against the Texans, but we'll see where it goes. All right, next, Chicago Bears versus the Minnesota Vikings. Big win for the Bears. Big win. Season's back on track. Justin Fields has looked good his last 2 weeks. Vikings without Justin Jefferson. I got the Bears here. This Vikings offense is going to suck without Justin Jefferson.
I'm right there with you. I think the Bears look really good this week against the Vikings. I think Justin Fields is due for another big game, especially against this very poor Vikings team. And no Justin Jefferson means that offense is going to be very, very lacking.
I'm fading you guys once again here. I'm going Vikings minus 2.5 on the road. They put up a good fight against Kansas City last week. They're 1-4. This is a must-win game for the Minnesota Vikings. I think if they lose this game, there's no chance they win the NFC North. I'm just going to say it here.
Yeah, that makes sense, sitting at 1-5. All right, next, Cincinnati Bengals home versus the Seattle Seahawks. Griff, your Seahawks, this is a big game for them. Talk us through it.
They're going to win this game. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be really exciting. It's going to be so fun. I'm going to love it. They're going to win. 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 Seahawks plus 3. I can't talk about it. I'm going to talk myself out of it. So, good Seahawks plus 3.
Will.
I'm also riding the Seahawks. I absolutely love the Seahawks this week. They're 3-1 against the spread this year, and also the line moved from 4.5 to 2.5 or 3. I think something fishy is going on. I'm taking Seattle plus 3.
I'm taking the Bengals. I'm back on track with them. Especially now that the Patriots fucking blow. I got to have a team that I root for and pull for. I mean, obviously, I'm going to still root for the Patriots to tank. So I need to have a team that I'll tune into Sundays and have a rooting interest with. As I stated 3 years ago, the Bengals are my second team. I guess I'm using that card now. I got the Bengals minus 3. This is a big game for them. Going back home after the first, after the second win. No, first win. No, who'd they beat? They beat the Rams on Monday Night Football. This is their second win. Yeah. Going back home, you have a chance to even the script to go 3-3. Yeah,
you have a chance they'd to go be 3-3 if they win this game. They'd be 3-3 if they win this game.
I think it's a big spot for them. I think Joe Burrow looked really good last week. T. Higgins is returning. It's a tough matchup for the Seahawks. I think offensively, they match up, but the pass rush scares me for the Seahawks. All right, next, we have the Cleveland Browns going to San Francisco. 49ers, Browns are home. 49ers minus 6. You can't bet against the 49ers here.
You can't bet against the 49ers. I'm going to say right now, lock of the week, 49ers minus 6. That's my lock of the week. Last week I was going to take them, but I overthought it. Not overthinking this week, 49ers. I'll probably take them the rest of the year, and I'll probably do pretty good.
I like that. You can't go against the 49ers, especially against the Browns here coming off a bye week. I don't see it.
Yeah, you can't bet against the 49ers. And Deshaun Watson might not even play for the Browns. So that's just a recipe for fucking disaster. All right, next, we have the Miami Dolphins versus the Carolina Panthers. Dolphins at home. This is a blowout. This is a fucking blowout. Bryce Young has had a really tough scheduling start to his career, by the way. I feel bad for him. But, Dolphins.
I don't know why I wrote Panthers down. It's the Dolphins. They're going to win.
The Dolphins. You didn't realize they were home. You didn't look at the key.
That's it. You got me.
Well,
Dolphins are going to kill them. It's not even going to be close.
Simple.
Yeah.
Simple.
All right. That's all I got. Next, we have the Jaguars versus the Colts. Anthony Richardson on the IR. Sucks to see. There goes my offensive rookie of the year. That's one of my guys. Two of my guys really are kind of gone with the wind. Jordan Love's the other one. Out of my CJ Stroud is ranked up to number one on Stav's guys list in the NFL this year. All right. I have Jaguars minus 4. I think Gardner Minshew's legacy run kind of comes to a halt here.
I'm also taking the Jags. I like Jonathan Taylor in the end zone this week too.
Who? Griff.
Jags.
All right. Next, Houston Texans versus the New Orleans Saints. Houston's home. Tough loss for them last week. Saints coming off of a blowout win. This is a letdown spot for the Saints, and I think that they cover minus 1.5. I think that defense is really good. I think that they found something offensively, and Alvin Kamara has been phenomenal up to this point. They're going to ride high on momentum. I have the Saints minus 1.5.
I love the over in this game. I love Kamara to get in. I love CJ Stroud anytime touchdown. I think he gets in himself. I'd also like to take CJ Stroud over passing yards. I think that out of all the quarterbacks, this is going to be the best, like, true passer out of the big three rookies. I love CJ Stroud for some reason. I wasn't too high on him coming out of the draft. That's just me. I was wrong. That's why I don't get paid millions of dollars to scout yet. But I think the Texans win this game. The Saints, you know, I've actually been on the Saints. I think this is actually the first week where I haven't taken the Saints, strictly just because of the reason that I think CJ Stroud is going to dice up that defense. And that's no diss against that defense. I think CJ Stroud's got something going. Offensive rookie of the year. No doubt. No doubt. There's no doubt now.
It has to be. I'm right there with you with the Texans. I think they have a big day. I think it's going to be a lot of scoring. I think this is actually going to be one of the good games this Sunday. I love this game for some reason. I like the Texans plus 1.5. Texans are going to be really good.
All right. Next on the list, we have the shitbag New England Patriots traveling to Vegas to face the Raiders. Raiders, -3, -10, -15. Who gives a fuck? Wait. Will, talk about your pick. Why you got them. I have something.
Buddy of the Raiders.
Raiders. I'm off the Patriots. We're officially bolting up for the rest of the year, as we always were.
Keep talking about the Raiders.
The need the Pats to tank. I'm over it. Raiders by a million.
Here we go, boom. It's the Raiders.
Boy. No, I'm not going to switch my lock of the week. The music got me fired up. All right. Next game on the list, we have the Los Angeles Rams versus the Arizona Cardinals. Rams -7. That is my lock of the week. The Rams.
Doesn't play. So I got the Rams, too. I also have the Rams, though. This is going to be a good matchup. There's just no chance, though. Cooper Kupp's going to get in the end zone. I'm going up against him in fantasy this week. Nobody cares. And the Cardinals are due to, you know, just absolutely find the brakes and hit a brick wall any day now. And I think that it could happen this week.
The Rams offense is explosive. They're going to score a lot of points against this Cardinals team. I think it's one of those games where we just see them get absolutely destroyed.
All right, next we have the New York Football Jets at home versus the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a disaster. I got the Eagles. Yes. Will.
Eagles -7. There's no more to say about this game.
Nothing.
Yeah. All right, next we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling nowhere. They're at home versus the Detroit Lions. Lions are favored by 3, a top 3 team in the NFC, as stated by me. I have the Lions here.
Yeah, Lions. I love the Lions in this spot. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, were exciting to start the season. I don't really actually see them as anybody too dangerous, especially against a team that's running the way that Detroit has been running. I think it's going to be a good offense against a good defense. But Detroit all around is just the better ball club.
All right, Sunday Night Football. Fuck the NFL for this, to be honest. Bills, Giants, Bills -14 at home. Are you fucking kidding me? This is going to be like a 30-point game. And did you see the injury report for the Giants?
No. Is everybody out? You know what sucks about this? I'm going to LSU this weekend, so you guys will see some stuff on the social medias. And I'll have a lot to talk about when we get back for the next episode. But I'm going to miss like all of Sunday's games because I'm going to be flying. I'm going to come back for Sunday Night Football, and it's this.
Yeah, Daniel Jones and Darren Waller are day-to-day questionable. They both haven't been practicing much. Who's Tyrod Taylor, the backup for the Giants?
Yeah, hero.
He might be better. All right. Hero. Next, we'll move to Monday Night Football, Bolt Up podcast, I guess. Chargers are home. It's going to be a home game for the Cowboys. We all know this. I could say that the Chargers are traveling to L.A. to face the Dallas Cowboys at home. Or on the road, but I got the Cowboys -2. It's a bounce back spot. They've been talking a lot of shit to the 49ers after getting blown out by 32. So I expect them to bounce back. I don't think that the Chargers defense can handle this Cowboys offense. And I think that Justin Herbert's going to get sacked like six times, seven
times. Lead the way, Will. Lead the way, Will.
I love the Chargers this week. I think the Cowboys are in a bad spot mentally after that. Just that loss on Sunday Night Football was terrible. You really can't do much about that. They are in a little bit of a bounce back spot, especially against a little bit of a weaker Chargers team, especially defense. No Mike Will, but Austin Eckler's back. Justin Herbert should be playing. Eckler in the end zone, however many times you want him, because he's going to be in there all freaking day. I love him in there. Joshua Palmer, yes. Everett, yes. They're scoring a bunch on the Cowboys. The Cowboys are getting demolished.
We'll just name every offensive player to score a touchdown in this game. bolt up. I'm going with the Chargers too. Monday Night Football, this is what they were meant for. Justin Herbert, over 400 passing yards, over 3.5 touchdowns. Now, here's the thing. Dallas is a good ball team. So is Los Angeles. They don't know what they're going to get off of a bye week when they are keeping their coach. This is rare. The Chargers are coming off a bye week, and they have the same coach that they had before that bye week. This is rare. They're going to win this football game. That's pretty much my reasoning for this. Bolt up. We'll move on to lock of the weeks here. Stav, still in first place. You can take it away.
Yeah, 4-1. The one sucks to see up there. Will's kind of catching up to me, but I don't want to start picking out jersey sizes yet, but
it's not over. It's not over.
Not over. Not even close to over, but I just got to keep up on the pace, and to keep up on the pace, I'm going to take the Los Angeles Rams -7. Griff, you said it best. You said basically everything that I was going to say about why I'm taking the Rams here. The Cardinals are kind of due to put up a really bad stinker. And I think we see Cooper Kupp in the end zone. I think we see Tyler Higbee in the end zone. And I really think that this is going to be a game where we start to look at the Rams like, oh, shit, don't count them out yet. They could be in the upper echelon of NFC teams. So, yeah, Rams -7. Will, second place, talk to me about your pick.
I'm looking to keep the win streak alive here. We're rolling with Seahawks +3. I said they were 3-1 against the spread. The line changed. Something's fishy going on. I like the Seahawks. Love them. Seahawks +3.
Keep it going. All right. I'm going to keep it in the NFC West. How about a little NFC West sweep? I'm going to take the 49ers -6. Like I said, I was going to take them last week. I thought too much. I thought, you know, it's a primetime game. They're playing Dallas. Might be a tough game. Let me take the Packers. And then the Packers put up a dud on Monday Night Football. I'm going to go with the 49ers. They're the best team in the NFL. They're favored by less than a touchdown. I got them winning by at least 10 points in this game. Need to improve to 2-3-1. That would look a lot better than 1-3-1. Right now, I'm an idiot sandwich. 1-3-1. Third place, still on the podium, but there's a lot to work off of here. You could be on the podium and still in last place. That's how I feel. So how could you be a loser and a winner at the same time? You can't. I feel like a pure loser. That's all I got. Anyways, like I said, I will be attending LSU this weekend, so make sure you follow the socials at Inside the Five Pod on Twitter and on Instagram, because I will be posting on there all of Saturday, showing clips, showing highlights, showing all of that, talking about the game. Other than that, we hope you guys enjoyed. We will see you guys on the next episode. Enjoy all of the football all week. And yeah, peace.
Peace.